This is episode 15 of A Dicey Experience. Lazy Man, you and Nameless, you guys have been down in the bottom of the boat. You've been hanging out down there. Kind of just, really, you sit up all night after the big move away from the island, and you've kind of been patching one hole after another. What does that process look like, having your Drake help you patch up your holes in the ship?
I would say for the most part, it's mostly just having him like hold nails and bring me boards and all that kind of stuff. And probably after having been on the island and also trying to prevent a boat from sinking, maybe even being a little too harsh at times, you know, like you're trying to work and like the puppy's just biting at your ankles and like you're trying to do stuff and you're like, you know, just pushing it away a little bit, pushing it away a little bit, pushing it away a little bit, and hoping that like he'll get the hint and just do his job and leave me alone a little bit.
How does Timmy sound as a name, Father?
Timmy? Absolutely yeah. Not.
Raphael is a strong name.
I knew a turtle named Raphael once.
Oh?
Yeah. I don't like it.
Oh. Jack.
Jack? What are...
Of the sparrows.
What are you, a candlestick maker or something?
He keeps, you know, pressing. That's been most of the night, is just asking question after question of, what about this name and this name? Just trying to get a name for himself.
Listen, I think until you come up with a name that sounds better than Nameless, which I get it, is not really a name, but it sounds like a pretty stinking cool name. I would imagine someone should make a play about a dragon named Nameless. And... I don't know, some adventure of a boy that does something. I don't know. I'm not that creative, but I would say that until you come up with a name that sounds cooler than Nameless, it's probably going to be Nameless for a while.
Sharpay?
I can't spell that.
Oh. Okay. I'll keep trying. I'll find a good name. I want to please you.
It's got to be strong and intimidating.
Strong and intimidating.
Yes. Think along those lines. And cool. It should incite fear into the hearts of millions.
Like bowl?
I'd prefer plate.
Ah. Plate. Plate.
Nah, I don't like it.
I don't like plates.
How about we just stick with Nameless for a little while?
Okay. Nameless. I can do Nameless. Oh, here's another hole, Master.
And of course, another crack sprouts up and some water leaks, begins to leak through the bottom of the hole. What do you do? How do you start repairing this?
So, part of this process, too, I mean, if there's leaks coming through, I'm making sure we have a, like, taking care of the water problem as well. And so, constantly, probably having Nameless take pails of water up to the top and dump them over as the boat's starting to fill up a little bit. But, yeah, just mostly just getting some pitch and tar and... throwing it in the crack and nailing some boards over it until the water stops seeping through.
Remind me, what color is your Drake?
I believe, if I remember correctly, because it's been a while, it's like a icy blue color. And he's got some spiky scales that come off. And I think like Hades from Hercules, his hair color's that same type color blue, maybe a tinge darker than that.
Okay. So his skin color or his hair color?
Hair color. Hair color. So just kind of like an icy dark blue.
Like that fresh blue flame.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. And what does he shoot out of his mouth? Is it like acid or lightning or poison?
We've totally talked about this before. And I remember everything. I mean,
in general,
everything.
When you're saying that blue color, the blue color generally comes with lightning. But, it is your drake.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, like, the actual mechanics of a drake, yeah. They, like, whenever you summon them, it changes. But I also don't have the power to summon him yet, so I think he is just what he is.
Okay.
And so I think if blue is lightning, then I would say he summons lightning.
All right. There's one point where you guys are repairing the hole, and he, hey, will this help? And he just vomits lightning out of his mouth.
Yikes!
Crackles and sparks.
All right, let's.
His little tail's wagging, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Big grin on his face.
There is definitely a use case for that, Nameless. But let's do our best to not do that inside the confines of the vessel, unless we are doing it at a person or some sort of evil thing that is trying to hurt us.
Person. Lucas? At Lucas?
No. No. The correct answer is no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Okay. I can...
The captain, can every now and again, I think would be perfectly acceptable.
You want me to kill the captain?
No.
Oh.
Not yet.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe later.
Right around that time, you start hearing some noise around you. It sounds like the door kind of creaks open, then closes.
Okay.
You don't see anybody come in, though.
I turn around and look at the door and don't see anyone there, and I just assume the boat's probably rocking, and you know, it just swayed open and then swayed shut, and you know, if no one's here, it's probably just the motion of the ocean.
Begins to echo a little bit in the bottom of the hole.
Nameless, was that you?
No, Master. I don't know how to laugh.
John pulls out his flintlock, and he's still facing the wall, you know, wherever, whatever leak he's currently patching is. So he pulls out his flintlock and just holds it in front of him and slowly cocks the hammer back. And, telepathically to, and I don't know that I've tried this before, that John has tried this before, but telepathically to Nameless, he's just going to think, you remember that lightning thing I said not to do?
Now?
If you see something, absolutely. And wait to the count of three. And
okay.
Once John's got, you know, his hammer cocked back, and he's going to take a deep breath and count inside his head, 1, 2, 3, and then whip around and see what he sees.
Yeah, roll a perception check.
Okay.
And roll one for Nameless, too.
Okay, green is going to be for Nameless. Ooh, I rolled a natural 19. So I got a 22, and Nameless rolled a natural 16.
Yeah, y'all whip around, and at the front door, there is a doll dressed in a black dress with a white apron, Man, eyes were painted on with a big smile, and she's just waving at you. Beautiful, beautiful golden hair.
I'm going to point at it with my flintlock and tell Nameless that one. And just start scanning around the rest of the room.
You want me to zap Sally?
Yes.
Okay. And he just fires a lightning, and you just watch this doll just basically cartoon animate, like, just begin to zap, and it just kind of slumps on the ground, and smoke coming off the top of it.
John has a moment of pause, like, after he says yes, and as the bolt is flying through the air, of why does Nameless know its name? Why does it have a name? And there's a moment of hesitation of maybe this shouldn't have just happened.
Yeah, and right after that thought, you feel like a kick on your shin, and there's one with pigtails and dressed the same way with kind of brownish hair. And she's pouting now.
John just says, holy crap, and kicks it and tries to take a step back and shoots it.
Okay, yeah, roll me a an attack roll.
Eighteen to hit.
Yeah, that hits. You kick that doll. She goes clear across the other side of the room, and your bullet flies right through her left arm. Oh. I don't think Lily liked that very much, Master. She seems very upset.
Lily? What, are you just giving these things names? And is the doll still standing? Like, still there? Or did it slump over as well?
Oh, yeah. You can roll damage for me.
Okay. 12 damage.
Yeah, it's barely standing. It's not slumped on the ground like mm-hmm. Sally, but it's... Lily is definitely not looking too good. She looks pissed off, though. Like that. You watch as the smiley face turns into a creaky, pissed off face. Kind of makes that cracking sound as the face shifts into an angry face.
So John is going to jump up onto like one of the barrels or the crates or whatever is nearby and yell at Nameless... Get it! Hit it! Hit it again! Do it! Do the thing!
I'm out.
What? What do you mean you're out? And John's gonna put his flintlock away and pull out his rapier and try and start stabbing at this thing.
Yeah, you go to stab at Lily. Again, Lily's on the other side of the room, so you're on top of a box.
I thought she was kicking at my foot.
Yeah, she was, and then you kicked her back.
Okay.
Remember?
All right.
Yeah, you kicked her, so she's across the room. You're now on a box, and you pull out your rapier, and as you're going down to look at your scabbard, of course, you get your two swords on your hilt.
Yeah.
On your... Yep. Yeah. So you go down to look at your scabbard to draw your rapier, and you see another doll who quickly hides behind the box that you're standing on, almost in a panic, and like they're afraid.
And John is just going to run out of the room.
Just take off running.
All right, I'm going to close the door behind and hope that Nameless stays in there and he can deal with these things because he seems to have a relationship with him.
Sounds good. Yeah, you run out of the hole. I guess you're running it through the downstairs area.
And just to be clear, I don't jump off the crate and run on the ground. I am jumping from like crate to crate, hopping around, hoping to stay out of the reach of these creepy dolls.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to manage to do that. You kind of hear some sighs from them as you close the door and you start bolting out of the room into the storage area, up the stairs, I guess going down the hall to kind of get onto the top of the deck, right?
Yeah. And as soon as I close the door, I'll put the rapier away and just try and like shuffle quickly and not seem too alarmed.
Okay. Yeah, you start doing that and you make your way out. That doesn't seem like anything's following you. Roll me a perception check with your ears. So I don't know if you have a special hearing bonus or not.
No.
But
Unfortunately, I do not. Perception will be 18, though.
18, yeah. So you start hearing a little bit of a commotion, and outside the door, you kind of start hearing the captain cough. You hear somebody else's voice that you don't recognize laugh a little bit. And then you hear crew say, "Captain?" with like a question mark. What does that sound like, Stolen?
Captain?
Just like that. It's on the other side of the door.
And the laugh didn't sound like the Nilbox laugh, did it?
No, it did not sound like the Nilbox laugh. It sounds like a little more gruff and deep. It's a... I knew you'd find this map, Nadar. I just had to wait.
John's going to quickly repack his flintlock before stepping in. And... what would he do? Yeah, he'll come in with his flintlock out and his rapier out as well in the other hand. And... kind of throw open the door and examine what's going on inside.
Okay, yeah, you as you open the door, because this is the door that's leading out to the deck, make me an attack roll.
Okay.
This door's a little stuck. When you try to open it, it feels a little stuck. That's why you're making an attack roll. Yeah.
And just a general melee, I'm assuming. Will be
yes.
a 7
to hit.
Yes.
The door doesn't move. Try it one more time. Add with advantage, kind of a little oomph behind it.
Yeah, I assume it's just going to open, and it don't really put much force into it, and then I'll knock into it with my big feet. Oh, that's better. That's a 20.
20. Yeah, that hits. Roll d6 damage plus your strength modifier.
Okay. 4.
4, yeah. You kick that door open and you kind of hear this guy laughing. And right when he says, "Nadar, I knew you'd find the map. I just had to wait." And right when he says wait, that door just slams right into the back of the captain. And it just slams back into the back of this other creature that's standing behind your captain. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he kind of slams into your captain a little bit, and he takes that 4 points of damage you mentioned. And you're looking, and you see out into the deck, there's a strange chameleon-like captain-looking creature standing behind your captain who's shoved a knife that's kind of got a blinking red light on the end. You look at your captain, he's gripping really tightly to the table that's in front of him. Still, the map is still kind of laying out on the table in front of him. But you look at the bottom of him, and you know he's a crystal dragonborn. And you're realizing that he's being crystallized.
Okay.
Almost like a petrification type event's happening to him. And it seems to pick up, the speed of his crystallization seems to happen with every flash from that red light from the dagger.
Gotcha.
Crew and Lucas are staring on the other side of the table, probably a few feet back, kind of just almost looking a little blown away, and there's two more people standing behind them that you don't recognize.
Okay. Having been... I mean, you said I don't recognize them, so I'm guessing having been a pirate for a while, I've never seen these guys before. They're not, like, former crewmates or anything like that.
You can roll a history check.
Okay.
And while he's rolling the history check, everyone, my name is Jason Sketch. I am the DM for this wonderful game for the Fates. Welcome into this awesome and amazing podcast. We're super thankful to have you guys all here. It's been a great joy and a blessing to get to have you guys listening to our podcast for, gosh, 15, 16 episodes now. This is episode 15. This is pretty crazy for me to think about. To my left is Mr. Meerkat. Meerkat, who are you and who are you playing tonight, buddy?
Hi, I am Meerkat, and I am playing Lucas Fendweir, the cook chef on the boat, the string, I should say.
And how's he feeling right now?
He's looking at the captain and hoping that doesn't happen to him.
Man, all right, yeah, that's a good feeling. But who's that to your right?
Stolen? Or crew?
Very good. Yeah, Stolen, who are you?
Hey everybody, this is Stolen. I am playing crew Saipan, everybody's favorite warlock turtle. And he is a little shell-shocked right now.
Ooh, shell-shocked. Clever. And who's that standing way, way, way in the back of the room? Stolen, is that?
I don't have my glasses. Is it Lazy Man?
Lazy Man, is that
it,
you?
It is Lazy Man, returned from my distant travels. I am playing Jean Lafayette, the Rogue Ranger, and it's just been a really weird couple days for him.
Welcome to life on the sea, right?
Absolutely. Every day is an adventure.
Recently, our party has been out on an island where they were out with an aim to get a map to the terrarium. On retrieving this map to get to the terrarium, they set out sail to Linguina to do some repairs on their boat and to hopefully gather a few more crew members. Of course, things happen when you're out at sea, and now they're being attacked by three unknown people on their boat. Let's hear what your history check says,
Mr. It was an 11.
11. You don't know who the people are that are behind Kuru and Lucas, but you can only assume that they are pirates that are in the... will serve under Captain Conway. Which you never have actually seen Captain Conway, but you've heard Nadar talk about him once or twice. An old companion of his that he used to travel with on Captain Zakal's boat. Long before he took on his own captaining of a ship.
Okay, and this may be another check I need to roll, but before I do anything, does it look like the dagger that is in Captain Nadar? Does it look like it's killing him, or it's just petrifying him?
Roll an arcana check.
Essentially, like, if I leave him to be petrified, could he be revived later? It's a 13.
You have heard tale of many magic items in the past that have affected Dragonborn, especially Crystal Dragonborn, in a way that they might cause petrification. And you've heard that there might be a possibility of reviving, but you've never really have ever heard a tale. You've heard the tales of them petrifying crystal dragons or crystal dragonborns this way, but you've never heard the tale of how they might be unpetrified.
Okay.
Before.
Okay.
So there's a possibility, like there's some mythical something that might make that a possibility, but it doesn't sound like something you'd be able to do just, you know, tomorrow.
Okay.
Should we roll for initiative, or did you have one more question?
No questions. I was just going to say, John was just going to say something, but if we need to roll initiative, that's fine too.
Yeah, John, what were you going to say?
He was just going to slightly lower his pistol a little, still be ready, but, you know, pointing more up at the air as opposed to the chameleon. And
okay.
Simply say, remove the dagger or face the wrath of the demigod.
He kind of turns around and grins at you and he says, I am not afraid of a demigod. I'm especially not afraid of you, boy. And he draws his sword and swings his short sword at you. Oh, I lied. His longsword at you.
Right then. It's as good a day as any to die. And he'll level the flintlock at him.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, that longsword will swing kind of in your direction. You'll see that flintlock come up. So you can go and roll, make your attack. He will make his attack as well.
Does a 21 hit?
Nah.
No? Okay.
Yes, of course. Does an 18 hit?
18 does hit.
Sweet.
And that is 7 points of slashing damage.
Yikes.
And let's, y'all ready to roll for initiative?
It's 8 points to him.
8 points to him, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, let's roll initiative.
All right.
Fight, 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 fight.
Doing math in my head.
All
right.
I've never rolled better in my life, and now all those rolls are going to end.
Why would you say that?
Because I think this is the first time the entire campaign I've consistently rolled above a 10. And I just can't imagine that luck is going to continue. Especially now that it matters.
That's fair.
Never doubt the dice.
Quick question, DM. There was a chameleon and a purple Isomar, and that's it?
Yes. Yeah, there's the chameleon, who is standing behind your captain. This is a air genasi that's standing behind crew. A little more to the side right here. But remember, his sword was humming, already making a song. Over here, we have a Asimir. And Asimir has spiky armor on, and lots of cuts and bruises all over his face. He's just grinning real, real big, and he's standing behind Lucas, which is probably right around here, this part of the boat. You guys are on the back end of the boat, though. Well, I imagine this area right here, and the very back is where, like, the steering wheel is at. What is that called? Just the wheel of the boat? The stern?
Helm.
The helm of the boat? We know our stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. This is where the helm of the boat is. Right around towards the back. This is kind of this area back in the back. It's going to be where your kitchen's kind of leading into, that doorway for the kitchen and the captain's quarters and everything else where old man John came out. And of course, you scroll to the bottom of the page. We have the front of our boat. And this big round circle is crew's favorite spot, which is the crow's nest. So, which is in the center of the boat. Remember, you guys are driving a keel boat. So let's not keel over on the boat. All right.
It's a ship.
Oh, I'm glad you liked that. It made me laugh too. Success.
Huzzah.
Yuck.
Yuck.
Yeah, it's like what Goofy says.
Man, it's been over 100 degree weather outside for these past, 2 months? Has it just been 2 months? And man, let me tell you, it is freaking insane out there. The heat is blistering. It makes you sweat. You're hot. You didn't even know sweat came out of certain places, but now you're discovering that they do. It is all over your shorts and your shirts, and you've just walked into the nice, cool AC unit. That's right, folks. Your house is nice and cool. You can breathe. And guess what? You are not sweating here. That's what we hope we can provide for you here at A Dicey Experience, and we thank you so much for joining us week after week and watching these episodes, or listening, whatever you prefer to do. If you haven't already, leave us a review at any place that you guys listen to us, whether that's on YouTube, any podcast place that you can listen to podcasts, or, you know, even on Twitter, just saying, yo, check out this podcast. They're pretty cool. And we'll be like, yeah, we're pretty cool. And we'll be like, yeah, you're also cool. And we'll hit you with a follow. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you talk about us on your podcast, we'll hit you back with a follow. Man, what a crazy, crazy time of the year. Well, guys, I also want to say thank you to my stream. I stream on Twitch at www.twitch.tv/JasonSketch. If you guys are looking for a place to hang out, come chill with us. We'll be back live again starting late August. But I do want to say thank you to the stream because they are helping us put together some NPCs. And in fact, you have met one of those NPCs this week. That's right. The Asimir with the spiky armor is one of the NPCs we made on stream. It is a Battle Rager Barbarian, which is pretty cool. You'll get their name later on in the story because, you know, they didn't say their name so far in the story. And maybe perhaps in this rest of this episode, you might get that name. And if not, well, that is okay because you will get that name later on in the story. But for now, just note that that is one of the NPCs that you guys took the time to put together. And man, I am so thankful that you guys have taken time out of your day to come to my stream to build some more NPCs. If y'all want to come join us on that, it's really easy. Again, you just go to Twitch. You go to www.twitch.tv/JasonSketch and just hang out with us there. And we'll be glad to share that information with you. It's all about points, ladies and gentlemen. And I can use all the NPCs I can get. Also, this week we have a question for you. If you guys will notice on Spotify, we have a spot on there for you to be able to listen to and reply to a question. The question for us is, what is your favorite quote from the podcast so far? Now, you may be like looking at your screen now going, yo, Jason, I'm not listening to you on Spotify. I'm listening to you on somewhere else. That's totally cool. We get that. If you don't have Spotify and the place to be able to answer that question, just hit us with that comment in the bottom of the YouTube right there where you leave those comments and say the cool, nice things already that you do, but now you can add on there the answer to the question of what is your favorite quote from the podcast so far. And if you're like, Jason, I don't have time to get on YouTube, that's totally fine. I get it. It's not a big deal. If you would much rather not listen on Spotify, like much rather not answer on Spotify and don't want to answer on our comment section in YouTube, just hit us with a tweet on Twitter. We would love to hear from you there. Again, use the hashtag #adiceyfate and let us know what your favorite quote from the podcast is so far. We are super thankful for all of you guys. Thank y'all for just coming and chilling with us and just hanging out. I look forward to getting to know you guys more and more, and I hope you're really enjoying the story. I would love to get to see your feedback, and I cannot wait to read what y'all's thoughts are on these episodes. These have been probably two of the best episodes I've recorded with this team since we've started, and it's just been awesome to see the story progress more and more over time. I cannot wait to see where this party crew will head next. Speaking of which, you probably are tired of hearing my voice and want to get back to whatever is happening in this episode, so I'll let you guys get back to that. Y'all be nice to the players and such, and remember, next time I'll be deadly serious next time. Peace. So, 25-20.
20.
Oh, Lucas, right off the bat, sir. Get you. Okay. 20-15.
17.
Okay. 15-10.
12.
Nice.
Okay.
That's high for crew.
Wow, this is going to be very interesting. You guys do get the feeling that the captain is a little incapacitated and is unable to react because of the amount of pain he's going through with this change. All right. Let's begin. Lucas, kick on that combat music. There it is. Perfect. That's not what I thought was going to happen, but that just totally happened. Oh, man. All right. So first things first, the captain, your captain, seems to be in a lot of pain, but he's also kind of in a bit of a panic, and he starts to say, no. And you see, before the petrification can reach his blue shield, he's going to take it off, and he chucks it and slides it on the ground towards Lucas. With a pretty decent roll, so Lucas, it just slides perfectly and lands right at your feet and just kind of does that wobble back and forth. You've seen this shield. He's used this shield once or twice before to kind of like... Yeah. Oh, no, it is. Yeah, it's like a loud thunder. You've seen it used before, and it makes a lot of thunder damage from... It can be used as a reaction to make some special damage from it if you were to pick it up.
Okay, and I don't have to attune to it.
For the sake of the story, no.
Okay.
For the sake of truthfulness for our podcast listeners, the Sapphire Buckler from Fizzbands, yes, you will need to attune to it eventually. But for the sake of the story, I'll let you have it.
All right. As it slides towards me, can I use a free action to pick it up?
Yeah.
I will stomp my foot on the very corner of it as it flips up in front of me, and I'll catch it.
Like Captain America?
Yeah.
All right. Give me a performance check.
11.
Oof, you think it's pretty awesome. But Crew, you got from the corner of your eye... Lucas fumbles a little bit, and it's not as pretty as he thinks that he's going to make it out for a story later on.
Yeah. All right, I will... For my bonus action, I'm going to cast a Spiritual Weapon, and I'll put that down... I guess I don't have a mini for it, but let me... I'm just going to put it down here for now.
Okay.
And I will...
I like it. We have drawn a circle on the screen, ladies and gentlemen. You now have a spiritual weapon.
I will... Oh, can I attack with it as I cast it? Yes, I think I can.
Yes. Before we even dive into that, what is your spiritual weapon? Is it like a rowing pin? Is it a...
It is a giant ladle.
Giant ladle, that's right. Okay, so it's coming out and you're getting ready to attack the Spite's Ace Amir with it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That is a 15 to hit.
Oof. It looks like it's very close to hitting, but it's just like a scrape off of the... Off your armor there. Tie goes to the defender, buddy. I'm sorry.
Oh, well. Okay.
We're very close.
All right. I'll still use disengage, and I'm going to run over to the captain.
Okay.
And I guess that's all I can do, so that's my turn.
Okay. He looks at you and goes, "Don't. Don't pull it out. Don't pull it out."
That's what I was going to do. Why can't I pull it out?
It will grab you too. And you look like the chameleon's not even holding on to the knife anymore.
my hand was like like reaching towards it. And as soon as he says that, I'm like, ugh.
So, sorry. Jean, it's your turn, buddy.
Okay, so John's gonna use the smoke from the shot from the flintlock to try and cover his actions a little bit and stow the flintlock, pull out the rapier, and in that same motion try and stab at the chameleon in front of him.
Okay. Yeah, you can do that.
It's a 23 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay, and I'm going to use the alternate favored foe feat to mark him as a favored enemy, which will let me add a d4 damage. And
oh, wow.
Because of my, the swashbuckler rogue? I'll get sneak attack as well, since he is the only one in melee range with me.
Oh, wow. Oh, because of swashbuck. Dang. Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
So let's go for it. Damage. 15.
That hits.
Damage. 15 damage.
Oh, 15 damage. That's yes. Okay. Jeez. He, you cut right through him. He just kind of screams, ah, out in pain. Not too happy on the events that just transpired.
And then I am... Am I in the doorway, like, where he's blocking where I can't get out? Or could I potentially shuffle around and get fully onto the deck?
You can make an acrobatics check if you'd like to try to do that. But he's kind of... You're standing in the doorway, and he's standing right outside of it, kind of
okay.
thing.
Okay, so...
The captain's placement of the table was not
yeah,
right.
Yeah, is there enough space where I could use my rabbit hop and, like, jump over him?
I could give you that.
Okay.
I could see
okay.
that. Like, if you take a step back and you just try to leap yeah. through and you kind of dive yeah. over him. Yeah.
Okay. So I will do that, and that will let me move... I think it's just 10 feet, so really just on this side of him.
Right on top of the captain.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I'll definitely jump over the chameleon and off to the side a little bit so that I avoid landing on top of a now petrifying captain.
Got it.
And that is my turn.
Awesome. Crew, what are you doing, buddy?
Crew, seeing his now first and only best friend getting stabbed, he's actually just... So the chameleon is facing away from the captain now because he was engaged with Jean, right?
The chameleon is now facing the captain, yes. Well, he was... His back's kind of turned right now.
Okay.
Because John just jumped over him. And so he hasn't had a chance to turn around yet. But you can imagine his head kind of just followed the rabbit that was jumping over him.
Okay. So Crew is going to run up and basically shoulder check the chameleon into the helm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, make an attack roll, man. I like this. Gain a point of inspiration, too. This is a little bit different.
So 13 to hit?
13 does not hit. You slam into him, but it's just not quite hard enough. But you do have an inspiration point that I just gave you if you'd like to use that.
I will.
Okay.
And it's worse. It would be 5.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah, it's just not... You do that, you run forward, and you think it's going to do well, and just, for whatever reason, this chameleon is able to brace himself on the deck a little firmer than you thought. It must be those fancy lizard feet of his.
I'm just going to take a couple steps back to get ready to do it again. And then that will be my turn.
Sounds perfect. It is the that captain's turn. He is pissed. And he's just going to turn around and he's going to try to... You scumbags, get your act together and get this map and let's get out of here! And he's going to swing his sword over to try to, like, knock the rabbit back. Let's see if he manages. I'm guessing an 8 does not hit.
No, it's close though.
Okay. He's going to try again with... Oh. Then he's going to have... What? His hand crossbow. And he's going to try to make a shot at Rue. I'm guessing a 8 does not hit.
It does not.
Okay. Yeah, that crossbow will... He's trying to do a cool turn where he's going to swing around and try to hit with his sword and fire at the same time, and it just... The bolt goes right into the back of the hole, and the sword just is easily to duck over. It's hard to just kind of do this mover at the same time, and you're just kind of like, dude, what are you doing? You're almost like a drunk man on a boat that's fighting. Totally misses, completely just kind of fails. He'll
With that, he'll kind of stumble back a little bit this direction, leaving somebody's range in the process of doing that.
Can we make a little stabby stabs then?
Yeah, if you want to make an opportunity
attack. I'd like to make a stabby stab.
Go for it.
Be another 18 to hit.
18. Yes, that does hit.
Okay. Do you get sneak attack on...
I'm not a reaction.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. But I should still get the favored enemy.
Yeah.
Damage.
Oh yeah, he is. He's looking really poor. When you make that stab, you hit. Describe this. When he spins around, he misses you, and he starts to stumble backwards. How do you stab him? What do you do?
So he's been kind of swinging around wildly, flailing around, and so John's gonna use his finesse rapier to get in under his defenses, just like right under his armpit into his side areas. He's, you know, flailing around, and just make a little quick jab into his side.
Ah! He kind of, that's what kind of pushed him to stumble back backwards a little bit. Okay. Wonderfully done. It is now the Air Genasi's turn. He's going to smile and he'll turn his gaze towards the giant turtle man that just tried to check his boss. And he's going to cast a spell at you. I'm going to cast a spell on you. As soon as I find the spell sheet that this character has.
10 seconds or it fails.
He can only cast abjuration spells.
Abjuration spells. Hold on, I will get there, I promise.
He's allergic to evocation. What is happening? Anything to do with fire, lightning, it just, you know, anaphylaxis takes over.
Anaphylaxis, oh man. He's going to cast Ray of Frost at you. So, he's going to make a spell attack to be able to do that. It is a 19 to hit, crew.
That hits.
Okay. And do 2d8 cold damage. Six. 6 points of cold damage on you.
Alright.
He grins real big, super proud.
I just flip him off.
He makes an angry face at you now. Well, that's not very polite now, is it?
That was such a pansy hit.
Ah, and you think your magic's any better?
I believe so.
Turtles don't do magic. I know better. It is now the Ace Amir's turn. We're gonna roll. Lucas, give me odds or evens, and you want it to be the one that you call.
Odds.
All right. It is, unfortunately, evens. He does not believe that he can hit the spiritual weapon. So he's going to turn towards you and draw his big old weapon, which is not magic at all. You see him, he rages a little bit and just kind of makes a loud, like, roaring sound. Like, he rages. And he's going to run towards you, and he's just gonna try to, he's just gonna come try to give you a big old grappling bear hug. So.
Okay.
Yeah. That is, he comes up and he make a strength check for me.
Eleven,
yeah, so that's a 15 for his strength check. So he grabs you, and in the process of that, he's squeezing you in tight. Does a, yeah, I'm betting it does. An 18 hit your armor?
It does.
It does? Okay. And in the process of that, you are going to take damage from him squeezing you in tight, and you're kind of scraping against his spiky armor. So that is 4 points of piercing damage from that. Now, you do have a shield that does reactions if you would so choose, but for now... Oh, and the shield does give an extra 2 to your AC. Did that help?
No, it would be 17.
Okay. Sounds good. So you do take that 4 points of piercing damage from the spikes. And he's got you grappled in nice and tight, but that shield is resting against his chest if you so choose to use that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
That's a reaction...
You got it pulled up?
Yeah, I'm guessing the whole thing, you're going to allow just all of it, so it's 2d6 thunder damage.
Yep, as a reaction, when I take damage from a creature within 5 feet of me, I can deal 2d6 thunder damage. Yep.
Alright.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. 11.
11. 11 points of thunder damage. Yeah, he just... Oh, and He lets go of you in that process and begins to hold on to his ears. Just screams out loud. Araya don't like loud sounds! Alright. It's the captain's turn. The captain's gonna turn. He's gonna look at Jean and just kind of look you in the eyes, and he's gonna draw his longsword and he's gonna clasp your hands around it. And you watch when he does that, he says, he whispers in your ear, he kind of leans in a little bit and whispers, "Don't let them have it." And he'll let go of the sword, and it starts to shift from a longsword into a rapier. It's still that pinkish color, but it feels a little bit lighter than what you imagined before. You don't know quite what it will do, but you've seen it kind of do a special kind of extra damage on top of that normal damage that your captain usually does with his sword.
As he's pulling away, I'm going to say, is there any way to reverse this?
Reverse what? You want it to be a greatsword?
No. No, you madman! You're turning to stone!
The terrarium. Find him in the terrarium. And you kind of just see the captain, his eyes are getting a little more bloodshot, and he's kind of fading back and forth a little bit.
Thank you for being entirely cryptic and not giving me the information I need to complete this quest.
Motivation. Oh, man. All right. What would you like to do? You want to keep pushing for information?
No. I'm focused on the fight around me and hoping me and my crewmates don't die.
Okay. Perfect. It is Lucas's turn. So I guess, Lucas, you may begin, sir.
Okay.
You just watched your captain hand off a sword to your rabbit friend.
Okay.
And, oh yeah, and there's a spiky man in front of you who's grabbing his ears and is very upset.
So I am going to point. I'm going to look at the ASMR that's running towards me with holding his ears. And I'm going to point to the ocean and I'm going to say leap. And I'm going to cast command.
Oh, crap. Okay. What do I need to roll?
Wisdom save.
Okay, he doesn't have too bad of a wisdom. So, I'm guessing an 8 does not work.
14's the saving DC.
Okay. What does this spell look like? When you cast command, what does this look like?
I would say that my the pendant on my necklace glows, and that travels up my necklace and into my eyes, and my eyes shine a bright yellow, and my voice has like a my own deeper voice, but with a very light like godly woman voice in the back, just overturning it.
He's holding on to his ears. He gets real wide-eyed, and he just runs away from you, and he leaps and begins to sink down into the water. Just see a boop.
Yeah.
Well.
Bad day to wear plate mail.
Bad day indeed. He's still raging underwater. He's shaking his fist.
That was awesome.
I'm scared of Lucas now. John! Go ahead, Lucas.
Sorry, for my bonus action.
And for my next trick.
No, you're done. No more.
I'm going to move the ladle over to the Air Genasi and try and hit him.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
26.
To hit? Yeah, that hits.
For 12 points of damage.
12 points. Yeah, you hit him and he's... Oh, he's... What the frick? Oh, come on! And he gets his sword to start parrying against your... Again, his sword is kind of making music, but it's floating around him, and he'll use it to start parrying against your thing there.
I imagine... He's way more frustrated. This is being attacked by a ladle than that he's getting hurt by a ladle.
He's pretty pissed off that this ladle just smacked him across the head, yeah.
It's like slightly dirty with like caked on soup or something like that.
Jean, what do you do?
Oh, man. Jean is going to take a few steps forward, moving past the table towards Bull and the chameleon, and with the new rapier that he just got from the captain, he's going to just attempt to engage the chameleon and make a stab at him again.
Okay, yeah. Do it.
Ooh. 13.
Yeah, nope. I don't think so. That does not go through.
Okay. Well, Jean will take a step back and jump up onto the table. And the map and compass and everything are still there, right? No one has picked those up?
Yes. Okay.
So he's going to stand on top of the table over those two things and reload his flintlock and make sure that's out, and hopefully ward off anyone from deciding to rush at the table.
So as a swashbuckler, you have the ability to make an attack. Even if you miss, you still get to step away and disengage.
Yes, I have fancy footwork, okay. So it's just melee attempts. So after whether I hit or not, the creature can't make opportunity attacks against me for my turn.
Okay.
So I can run in, try and stab, and run out.
That sounds marvelous. Okay. Crap. Crew.
Jean, protect that map and compass from the weird lizard guy. The genie is mine. And I'm going to cast Hex on the Air Genasi as a bonus action.
Okay.
And then I'm going to cast Mind Spike on him.
when you cast Hex, just roll me a perception check.
Okay. So, dirty 20?
Dirty 20. His eyes, they get really, really wide. You see him sniff the air a little bit when you cast that spell. And you watch his lips move. I don't know if you actually hear him whisper this or not, but he kind of goes, "It can't be. This whole time it's been here." Go ahead and make your mind spike attack.
So it's actually a wisdom save.
Wisdom save, perfect. Checking one thing on his blade song. Okay, yeah, he definitely fails.
Sweet. So he takes 4d8.
Nice.
Getting a lot of fours. Oh. 19 points of psychic damage, and then he gets 1d6, 5 points of necrotic.
He's not looking too hot, like, at all.
And because of the mind spike, he cannot be hidden from me. I know exactly where he is at all times for the next 8 hours.
Okay.
Nice.
How's that for magic?
He begins to laugh a little bit, and he kind of grabs his head. the whole time it was here. Give me the ring. It's mine. It's mine. I finally found it. I can't believe it's here. It's mine. I can finally grab it.
And I'm just going to grab the ring that's around my, hanging around my neck, rip it off the string, and shove it on my finger. It's mine, and it's staying here.
All right. The captain behind you, little PO that he's not hit anybody, is going to quickly turn and swing his sword at you, crew. And we're going to all move on with the guys. He's a little pissed off. The Air Genasi kind of stands there for a moment, and he's wobbling a little bit, but he goes, "It's a test. I'll be back for that. Yes, yes, I'll be back for that." And he makes a whistle sound, and you see the water below you begin to bubble a little bit. He casts fog cloud, and he begins to step away towards the edge. "We'll be back. We'll be back for that. Forget your map. I know where you're going now. I'll get my father's ring. It's the last thing I do." And he falls over the edge of the boat. And you see a blue bubble-like creature kind of float up for a second. Catch him with the other spiky man inside. And a couple of other people you don't recognize. What's your name? Your name is Jean. Jean, you've been on the sea long enough. Go ahead and roll me a history check there.
Okay.
Do better than a 5.
Oh, that's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20, perfect. So you've seen these vessels before. Typically, they're manned by tridents.
Okay.
Or tritons, excuse me, not tridents, tritons. And they kind of function like, well, you know that they wear a helmet, and a triton will sit inside of it and kind of maneuver this large jellyfish-like creature, though you're not really sure where that creature might be at. This large jellyfish-like creature does absorb the Air Genasi into it, and both the Air Genasi and the Spike Man go down. The Spike Man looks like he's getting ready to run back onto the boat, but the Air Genasi grabs him by the shoulder and says, "No, no, we'll find them another time. And that ring, it'll be mine." And then they start to go down into the water. Your captain's turn.
I've got a quick question, clarifying question.
Yes.
The jellyfish thing, are these like emblematic of Triton's culture and civilization, where like
you know them,
like just Tritons themselves would have them, or are they typically like pirate vessels, or you know?
They're typically like warships for Tritons. Okay. And so like if you find yourself surrounded by, usually when you see one, there's gonna be like three or four others around at the very least. Though you've never seen one manned by a pirate crew like this before. Usually when you're looking, you see a bunch of Tritons standing inside of it. It looks like there may be a Triton in there. You couldn't really see after all the figures, but there's definitely a lot of different humanoids standing inside that large jellyfish. Okay. At least from the top of what you could see. So, but it does sink back down into the water. It is now your captain's turn. And we're going to make one final roll for your captain here. Nadar cries out in pain, turns and faces the other captain, and does one final blow from his breath weapon. It is not as powerful as it once was. But he does manage to do about 7 points of force damage, slamming him into the wall behind, almost leaving like a body imprint of this captain on the wall. This captain is no longer looking well at all. Blood is kind of dripping down his face. But you look back at Nadar, and those of you standing next to him see him kind of smile, soft twinkle in his eye, as his body crystallizes over. He is no longer moving. In fact, it's kind of interesting because he's almost like doing that wink and thumbs up towards Jean. But he is frozen and crystallized in place. The light on the dagger that is stepped into him no longer flashes. In fact, the dagger clatters onto your deck. Lucas, it is your turn.
I guess I see the captain, and I'll say, we'll get you back, captain. And I will run towards the chameleon. In a slight rage, and try and just stab him with my meat cleaver.
Okay. Make an attack roll.
Oh man, 23.
How do you want to do this?
I'll be running towards him with my cleaver, and then I'll just have it over my shoulder. And I'll just bring it right down, like, in between, like, on his neck to the side. And just cut him deep there and leave it in. And say, you know, this is for the captain. And then I'll rip it out. Blood, like, spray across my face.
Sprays across your face, all over crew. The moment's quiet. The sea doesn't move for what feels like an eternity. And one wave kind of rushes in. You're out of combat. Your captain is petrified. And you're days away from really one island that might help really finish and finalize your boat's repairs. Is there anything you guys would like to do before we finish out this session?
Contemplate my life choices.
Rue, what do you think about?
How the one time I get close to somebody, something happens. It just doesn't feel right.
Jean, this man that you've been following for months, maybe even a year or two?
Potentially.
His captain's hat didn't get petrified for whatever reason. Sitting on his head.
You can't take a man's hat. Take his honor, take his dignity, leave him his hat.
I'm also not seeing Captain Jean, so...
Yeah, John's just still standing up on the table, and he's looking down at the dead chameleon and Lucas standing over him, and Bull just standing there staring at the captain, and the captain petrified, and he just kind of sighs because he didn't want the captain around. This really isn't how he wanted it to go either.
Lucas, you've been pretty quiet. There's now chameleon blood all over your meat cleaver. Not the first time you've had blood on your cleaver. But this is blood you've taken.
I'm breathing heavily, and then I slow down and I calm my breath, and I stand up straight and walk over to the captain, and I'm gonna have my hand not touching him, but just like just next to him, and I'm gonna try and cast Lesser Restoration, which I know doesn't affect petrification, but I'm going to try anyway. And, you know, you'll see that my hand is covered in oil. And I'll try and, like, drip it over him, and it doesn't seem to be working. And I just kind of take a big sigh, and I just kind of sit down on the deck.
The sea rocks the boat back and forth for a while. And imagine it just kind of stays quiet for a bit. As we fade out from the scene, we kind of watch the camera zoom out a little bit. We see the full boat, we see the string. And that's what we'll end for the session tonight.